third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. How many people here have a recipe that, or have a favorite food that their grandmother or mother, or even some of you maybe great-grandmother used to make, and you never could quite recreate how good that was? My grandmother, my mother's mom, Mary, who lived in Denmark, she 11 kids living on a farm, the woman cooked and baked and cleaned and then did it again the next day and so on. But when I was fortunate enough as a little boy and then a young adult to go over and visit her and spend some time with her, she would just bake these awesome cookies. They were just amazing. And I would ask my mom, and my mom can bake, and she can cook, and she does a lot of the same foods, and very good. And then my mom's immediate sister, my Aunt Betty, my godmother, same thing. But it's interesting when you talk to both of them, and you ask them, well, whose recipe, whose are better, right? Well, being two sisters who, they're the only two sisters that live over here, and they're 1 year apart, and they're about as intertwined as you can get. Obviously, they don't agree with each other, right? So one sister will say, "Well, I use mom's recipe." And my mom will say, "No, I use mom's recipe." So everybody will ask and say, "Well, who's right? Where did she write it down?" She didn't write it down anywhere. So it was on taste, on faith, that they developed their own recipe within. And it was still, both of them were really good, but I have to honestly say my grandmother's was the best. So you say, well, what in the world does that have to do with baptism? Well, let me explain. Today's gospel lesson is about Jesus' baptism. It's Matthew's account of when Jesus was baptized by John. The interesting thing is when John explains and describes the baptism in his gospel, it's different from the other two synoptic gospels, Matthew and Mark, because he includes something in there that I found to be really, really interesting and important. So when Jesus comes to John and asks him to baptize him, what is John's response? Did you pick up on that? He says, whoa, you got it all wrong, dude. You should baptize me. Did he not? Maybe not exactly that way. He said it in Hebrew. But he said, I should be baptized by you. It's interesting because in that point, there were other people around. Did Jesus come up and say, "Hey, I'm Jesus. Yo, me." No, John knew exactly who he was, right? And we know from Scripture, John knew who he was how far back? In the womb. When John was a little baby, in his mother's womb, Elizabeth, and Mary came to visit, what happened? John stirred and jumped in her womb. So we knew there was this connection that John knew who Jesus was, right? Did anybody else there pick up on it? No, they didn't. So the interesting thing is here, so Jesus tells John, now John had been around and he had drawn his own following, right? He was a very important person. He was baptizing people, but how was he baptizing them? No, he was baptizing, but he was baptizing in a repentant sort of way. So where is the grace? It's harder to find it. Whereas Jesus came to fulfill the prophecy, and remember I said the book of Matthew refers more to the Old Testament than any of them, because who's the targeted audience that Matthew is writing this gospel to? It's primarily the Hebrews, right? So he's explaining along the way that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is it. He's the man, right? So as Jesus goes to be baptized, and John says, oh, wait a minute, and then Jesus reminds him, this is who you need to do. This is what you need to do. Now, John, being a man of God and a man of great following, says, okay. And he baptizes him. So why do we get baptized? Why? Why have we been doing this since the first century? Why is it important as Christians that we're baptized? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever asked that question? I'm sure that maybe these are thoughts that y'all are having right now. And everybody has their own answers. And some of them may be, well, that's what we've always done. What would that fall into? What category? Tradition. Well, that's the way we've always done it. Kind of like my mom and my aunt, when they follow the recipe they think of my grandmother's, they say, well, that's the way she always did it. It's that way, right? So is the end result the same? It is. It's the same. So what else might they say? Who tells us to be baptized? How many people here fall under, have heard the term the Great Commission? The Great Commission, where Jesus at the end comes and he shows up to his disciples and he gives them their final marching orders. What are they? He says, go. So it's an action, right? And he's talking to everybody, every Christian here. Go and do what? Go and say hi to everybody and say, hey, can we hang out? Can I come over for dinner? Can I mow your grass? No, they probably didn't do that back then. But what does he tell them to do? Go. Right. Make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we get to Acts chapter 3 in Pentecost, which is where, what happened? That was where we had all these people, the Holy Spirit came, and there was this massive coming to God, massive baptism, right? So that's the day of Pentecost. But Jesus himself says, be baptized. Is that good enough? I mean, to me, that's it. So the question is, when? And another question is, how often should we be baptized? How often do you take a shower? Don't answer that. hopefully you bathe enough, right? Back in those days, it probably wasn't that often, but we bathe ourselves consistently, constantly. And what does it mean by washing? What is that washing or sprinkling? And really, honestly, there's no way we're in there where it says that you have to do full immersion. I mean, the early church, way back to And it's written in the Didache, which was, without getting into detail, it was one of the early church doctrines that told them how to do stuff. Way back to the first century to where none of us in here were alive. But that's kind of, they had guidelines. Well, if you can do it this way, do it this way. If you can't, do it this way. In the end, what matters? Who baptizes that little baby? Who baptizes that adult? Who baptizes that 12-year-old? What baptizes them? God. It's God through the Holy Spirit working through the person that's baptizing them. And what's he doing in that? He's claiming the water's washing away the sin. So essentially it's a reboot, right? For you people who like tech. It's a reboot. Clean it all off. Start over. Right? But we also know that as soon as we start that back up, what's going to happen? It's going to go bad again, right? In other words, it's going to get corrupted again. It's going to get dirty. We go to the shower. We wash ourselves off, soap us, take a bath, a whirlpool, whatever you do. You dry off. What happens? Immediately, you're getting dirty again, right? This is what happens in there. But in baptism, God wipes away your sin. Because we were born from sin. And he says, he claims you as his. Ephesians 4:5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's one of my favorite scripture verses in all scripture. Paul says to the Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So, In that baptism experience, God is baptizing. Is there anything we can do to shipwreck, maybe in an ex-Navy guy, to ruin our baptism? Is there anything we can do? Is there anything? No, you're right. Because God promised it. God said with you, I am well pleased. He says the same thing that he said to Jesus when we are baptized. He never, ever goes back on his word. Now we may step away and we may lead our path down a perilous way. We may make some awful choices. And we may feel like God has abandoned us, or we've abandoned him, or all that. And the world may come shattering down, and we're laying out in the middle of the ocean, and there's a bunch of planks out there from the ship. What's the one thing we can grab hold of that will never go away? And it'll always be there. That's going to be the most important thing at that time. That's that plank of baptism. It will always, always be there for you. Remember that. Because life is going to bring some really hard stuff. I'm sure you all know even better than I do. And we're going to get mad and angry with the people around us sometimes. The people of our church, our family. We may even get angry with God. And I'm saying that's okay. But in that time, remember, you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that will never change. Does that make sense? You see, Paul goes about that whole dissertation in chapter 6 that Kay read, and that's where he explains, look, if we did all these things with Christ, are we not with him also? Does it not apply to us? You know? And he goes through, and this is where grace triumphs over sin. There is no other religion, period, on the planet that does that. So we're blessed. We're so fortunate to have a Savior like Jesus. So the question becomes, what do we do with our baptism? So in the end, and I'm going to read this here when we do our when we reaffirm this here in just a couple minutes. In the end, the pastor says, through baptism, God has made us new sisters and brothers of the priesthood we share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word, this is important, to all the world. All the world. Does that leave anybody out? All means pretty much all, right? So as we get ready to reaffirm our baptism, think about the words that you're repeating back to me as you say them. And think about Jesus and everything that he has done for us and everything that he's going to continue to do for us when you say them. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and confess.